you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, and hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. Knowing you're near, so good to see you. Hope that it's clear. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
You're welcome in this house. This house is the Lord. Feel the excitement. There's something in store. We're two or more gathered to raise up His name. He's promised.
Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you, we hope that it's clear. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here, we're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near.
Reading from Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out many demons, and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And that's from Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, finally Friday, January 26, 2024. So is your yard flooded like mine, or all that snow that's melting, the ice that's melting? Hopefully you have all your hoses unconnected from the spigot. Otherwise, come springtime, you might find a busted pipe or two. But I think you all took care of that, and we look forward to those sunnier days that are ahead. But I'm sure being in Illinois, you just never know how many more snowstorms and cold temperatures we have ahead of us. But today, I hope we're going to warm your heart and mind, because we're going to talk about some scriptures that are somewhat terrifying when you understand God's truth and the application of them. Sometimes you need to think through, wow, that's important for me to understand or ascertain the truth there, and then to try to incorporate it into your faith journey. But joining us today is Mike Crosta, a good friend, a faithful follower of Jesus, a free agent for Jesus. He's involved with prayer ministry at Vineyard Church. He attends our ministry leaders luncheon every month. He also was a big part of our audience of one of the leaders behind the scenes working to make that a great God-honoring event. He's a good friend. Appreciate he and his wife, Kathy. And Mike, anything else you want to say about yourself? I know you serve at Vineyard Church, and you've been a transplant from Texas.
That's right.
You're finding yourself warmly welcomed and making friends here in the greater Champaign-Urbana area.
Yeah, we came from Texas 4 years ago, I think, now. And I think the one thing that characterizes Kathy and me is we love to talk about prayer, and we love to teach about prayer. And so that's on my heart. Of course, the scriptures are critical to prayer as well. So you've got to combine the scriptures with prayer really to be effective.
And also, we have two other new visitors. We have the Zools and the Fernalds, and we have Tad Jagish, who generally comes when he's not fixing one of the radio vehicles or working on some of our listeners' cars or trucks or motorcycles or just about anything that needs engine repair or fixing, joins us. But Ron, you brought your new pastor from New Beginnings Christian Fellowship in Gibson City, and so there's another pastor among us. How would you want to introduce your pastor to our listeners?
This is Cody Gause, and you've been with us now 5 months.
5 months, and Cody, you're invited to our Ministry Leaders Luncheon. It'll be coming up the first Thursday, so February 1st will be our next gathering, so consider this a personal invitation. And Alaric joins us. It wouldn't be a program without Alaric. Okay, so Alaric is among us, and today's topic is three scriptures that terrify me. And this is from Mike Crosta's perspective. So, Mike, where do you want to begin with this discussion on these three scriptures that you're identifying?
Right. So, certainly want to start with the Matthew text. I read this scripture, and really, honestly, it puts a chill in my spine every time I read it.
Yeah.
Because you and I can prophesy. We can do great miracles. We can even have a ministry of casting out demons. But it's possible the Lord will turn to us in the last day and say, I never knew you. In other words, what I think the scripture teaches is there could be great anointing for ministry, whatever that anointing is. And yet the Lord would say to us, yes, but I never knew you. So that makes knowing the Lord and him knowing us really critical. And so I'd like to talk a little bit about what is he saying there? When he says, I never knew you, this is Jesus, this is God. Doesn't he know everything about us already, right? The hairs of our head are numbered, right? No, this is about knowing someone like we know another person. And so the question really before all of us, I think, today is, right now, today, does Jesus know us?
Yeah, Mike, I think of the word intimacy.
Yeah.
What level, what depth is there in that relationship?
That's right. And, you know, I tell people all the time, and I mean no disrespect, I don't have a relationship with a book. I have a relationship with a living person, with Jesus, the living God. That's my relationship. And because I love him so much and because I want to please him and I want to know him, I have a relationship with a book, right? The Bible. You see that? But I've got the living God, the actual intimacy with Jesus comes first for me. And then the Word of God comes second to me, because the Word of God is about the Lord. And so what does it mean to say, I never knew you? And there's a scripture in Galatians. It's Galatians 4:9, where Paul is talking about, well, he's talking about to the Galatians about knowing God. And he says this. This is a really interesting scripture. But now that you know God, says Paul, Galatians 4:9, and then he stops in mid-sentence and he puts a parenthesis in his sentence. He says, but now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable principles? They were observing special days and seasons and years. In other words, Paul is saying here, now that you know God, now that God knows you, knowing God means he knows you, which means you and I are an open book to him. There's nothing we're keeping hidden from him. We're wide open. And of course, you know, the prayer for that is Psalm 139. If you want a prayer, if you want to say a prayer for God to know you, it's that part in 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's the prayer. I want to challenge everybody, Mark. Memorize that part of Psalm 139. Because that's the prayer where you go before the Lord and you just say, Lord, search me. Put your lamp, put your light on any part of my heart or my soul that's hidden from you, or that I've kept hidden from you. And here's what's really interesting about that scripture. Test me. The person is saying, put me through the test so that what is in my heart will get exposed. And I can see it, you can see it, and we can deal with it. Mm. So that's a real challenge when you think about it. So again, I'll come back to the point. Can we say that we've let God know us fully and intimately, and that we have surrendered to him, Mark?
And I'm going to put Elmer on the spot because he's our senior saint here. Elmer, how have you built or developed that relationship with the Lord over the years?
I always see that I like the Lord in three players: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus went to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit into each and every one of us. And I really do believe that the Holy Spirit dwells within my heart. Mm-hmm. When dwelling in my heart, he directs my days, directs everything I do. So that's really, that really holds me tight. And that means everything I do, the Holy Spirit is with me. When I'm driving down the road, if I'm eating dinner, the Lord is with me at all times.
And Cody, being a pastor, I'm going to put you also on the spot, being a first-timer here. And by the way, Richard, we want to, at some point, have you introduce your wife, who's also a first-timer here. But Cody, how have you grown in that relationship or knowledge of God, not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge?
Allowing God in every aspect of my life, whether it's parenting, whether it's being a husband, a friend, a pastor, or just Cody to some people, and allowing myself to become who Jesus is by being in his word like we've been talking about, but also allowing him in the parts of my life that I'm not necessarily proud of, the parts where I want to grow in, and like, search me. What is in me that does not look like you? Reveal it to me. Now partner with me to remove it so I can become more like you. So,
and I'm thinking, Mike, part of the three scriptures that terrify me, there are some people that attend church, but going to church doesn't make you a Christian.
I'm going to talk about that.
Just because you go and attend or read the Bible doesn't mean you have that intimate relationship. And that one verse where Jesus says, I never knew you, that's
pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
And Cody, I really like what you said, because the truth of the matter is there are motives and beliefs and attitudes buried in our hearts that we're not in touch with. Mm-hmm. That's hard for people to believe. But Paul says in Corinthians, he says, my conscience is clear, but that doesn't make me innocent. It's the Lord who judges me. In other words, I could have a clear conscience about something, but there could be motives, beliefs, attitudes, unholy desires still in my heart that I'm not consciously aware of. And I think that's why the psalmist says, test me, put to the test, put me in situations so that what is unknown to me in my own heart will get exposed, right? You've heard the phrase, a crisis always reveals our character. We may be fine until there's a crisis, and all of a sudden a crisis comes, and the worst things come out of us. Yeah. The anger comes out of us. Beliefs come out of us. That's what we're talking about here. And that's why I think also in Hebrews 4, it describes the Word of God, which is so beautiful. The Word of God is living and active. He says it divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So when the Word of God is coming into us, it's acting like an umpire in our heart, and it's exposing those very things, Cody, that you were talking about. And you know what? The truth is, there are things in our heart we don't want the Lord. We don't want his eyes on him. That's sad. That's not faith, but that's the truth. So that makes sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So we do want to pray this prayer. Lord, I don't know what's in here. I think I'm okay right now. My conscience is clear. But would you search me, O God? And would you really, really, really know my heart? Everything in there. Test me and know my anxieties. Let that all come out. Because, Lord, I want to have a clean heart in your presence. And I want you to say to me on that day, Michael, I fully know you. You let me know you. You surrendered to me. You were intimate with me. You spent time with me. And I know you.
I'm thinking of David, who obviously failed in many different ways, pretty dysfunctional dad, many wives, that wasn't really the way God ultimately wanted it, and yet God refers to him as a man after his own heart. So yeah. I believe he must have over and over again surrendered and submitted and confessed sin and had that tender, intimate relationship where he said, God, I've blown it again, but I know you're a great guy.
Amen, Martin. Amen, exactly right. So, you know, I think the final point on that scripture is, it's not about ministry success. It's not about great power. It's not about great anointing, right? It's intimacy and it's surrender. That is what appeals to the Lord. That's what makes the Lord happy, is when we come before him like that. So I just want to say, you know, he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this ministry for you? Didn't we do all this preaching? And didn't we serve the poor for you? I never knew you. You did all that, but you never bothered to come to me. And you never bothered to submit to my lordship. There's another thing you could spend a whole session on, the lordship of Jesus. What does it mean for you and I to have a Lord and for you and I to submit to a Lord? Well, I think it goes back, Cody, what you said, every aspect of our life. I can go to church over here, but I can come home and my parenting could be atrocious. And the way I treat my kids could be horrendous. There's a mismatch there between what I'm doing on Sunday and what I do. So not only your parenting, not only your marriage, not only your job, everything we do comes under the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Well, it seems to me, Mike, we're going to have you back to talk some more about that lordship of Jesus. But you mentioned that there's three scriptures that terrify you or should at least have us all think, wow, there's power in these scriptures. We should take a second look at them.
Yes. Well, the second one is quite short. It's from Matthew 24. And that, of course, is the famous Olivet Discourse. It's the longest passage in the Gospels where Jesus is talking about the last days. And he talks about, you know, there's wars are going to come and rumors of wars are going to come. And there's going to be persecutions and famine and so on. And then he gets to this line. This is the line that really gets me wondering. He says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now that one should terrify you. That things are going to be so bad. Now, this could tap into your particular view of the last days and end times. I have a view that Jesus is speaking about the last days here. And things will be so bad, so difficult, so wicked. There'll be so much wickedness. We think that the culture of the world is wicked now. I don't think we have a clue as to how bad it could get. And so during that time when Christians are persecuted and there are wars and rumors of wars and famines and scary things, people are going to abandon the faith. There is going to be a great falling away. And that's among believers. And this is saying the love of most will grow cold. And so the challenge there, Mark, is how do we keep our love alive? How do we keep that fire of our love growing so that it is not extinguished and it doesn't grow cold?
So Sharon, I'm putting you on the spot. You know, you've been a faithful follower of Jesus. You're passionate about him. You've been to Israel a number of times. You've been in Bible study fellowship and other gatherings. You love your pastor and love attending church. How would you say to somebody driving to work today, how should they keep their love for the Lord alive?
By being in the Word. Being at church, fellowshipping with one another, that is very important. People stayed home during COVID. They don't fellowship with one another anymore, and that is a concern. That's what I would say. Pray, fellowship, love the Lord, and pour out what you feel to the Lord.
Amen.
He's ready to listen at any time day.
That's right.
Well, everything we've been reading and talking about has involved submission and having that relationship. And we have broken human natures. We can't love on our own. The only way we can love properly is if the Spirit is living in us. So this just reinforces you have to maintain that relationship at all times. If you get distracted, and everybody knows all the craziness in the world is really distracting and discouraging, if you focus on that, instead of focusing on Jesus, the love will just naturally go down, just like no longer putting any more wood on the fire.
That's right. Yeah. You know, it says in Jude, the epistle of Jude, it says a strange thing. Keep yourself in God's love. It says keep yourself in God's love. And in order to understand what Jude is saying, you've got to go to John 15 and 16, where Jesus says, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. So there is a link between obeying the Lord's commands, remaining in his love, and keeping that love white hot. And, you know, next time, Mark, I'd love to talk about ways we can keep ourselves in the love of God. And I'd love to show people how the early church decided to do that. It's a fabulous passage in Acts chapter 2 we could talk about.
Well, we'll set that up for next Friday's edition of Mark and Friend to talk a little bit about the Lordship of Jesus and ways to keep that love relationship going and growing.
Well, Mark, let me just summarize a couple of things here as we close out today. You put these two scriptures together, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? I never knew you. And in the last days, things will be so difficult. The love of most will grow cold. I think anybody listening to us today can take heart because, as many have said today, it's the Holy Spirit in us that is the source of love. And I love what was said about you and I cannot love on our own. We just don't have it in us. We have to receive the love of God, and then hopefully we're in overflow with that love and we can give it away. So there's hope for everyone here, but it does require abiding in Christ and walking in the Holy Spirit.
Some great scriptures to read and think about. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. And if you can join us again next week, we'll talk about the Lordship of Jesus and ways to keep that love alive and current and ongoing and be that conduit where God will love through you to touch and reach others that are hurting, that are hopeless, that need the love of Jesus in their lives. And in my closing 30 seconds, Richard, what do you want to say about your beloved wife who's joining us today for the first time for this edition of Mark and Friends?
Well, I'd just like to say that she recently retired and now she can join us here on Fridays.
All right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And Debbie, thank you for joining us. And thank you, listener, for being a part of our radio listening family. I trust these Fridays, when we touch on different topics, they're used of God to fortify you in your faith journey or maybe equip you to be that ambassador, to be that disciple of Jesus, to go into all your world and share the good news message of Jesus. That's what we love to do as a radio ministry. And as Ted had shared and others have said, that love of God exists because God is love. God cares for you. He created you. He loves you. He demonstrated it while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. So he desires to have a role in your life. And as you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Mike Crosta, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.